Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life, your busy schedule, to join me on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, August 27th, 2020. My, how quickly the summer is coming to an end and fall is upon us. I have been very busy this week and really have enjoyed watching the Republican National Convention, the virtual performance of conservatives because of the COVID crisis. And the speakers have been outstanding, from Herschel Walker to many others, to make the case for four more years of Donald Trump. It has been an exciting convention. Last night, Vice President Mike Pence accepted the nomination for four more years as vice president and gave a wonderful speech. Hit the ball out of the ballpark is what I wanted to say, making the case for Donald Trump, for peace and for prosperity and for guidance for our nation for four more years. The alternative, of course, is Joe Biden. Is he mentally fit and up for the job? That is a big question mark. And with Joe Biden, you would have more open borders, higher taxes, and defunding the police, which is a disaster. And so I think the choice is pretty clear, at least for me. But what I want to talk to you this morning about is the subject of President Trump being the voice of the Iranian people. This is very important because it means the access and the balance of power in the Middle East. Because if Joe Biden should, God forbid, become president on November 3rd, what that basically means is that we would return to another nuclear deal with the mullahs of Iran. When President Trump became president in 2017, it was a year later that he tore up this deal and put sanctions back on the mullahs. Basically, what he did was said, no more sanction relief money. Under Obama, $150 billion were sent to the mullahs of Iran, which enriched their pockets for terrorism and, of course, paved their way for a nuclear weapon. Under Joe Biden, we would have a return to disaster. Now, interestingly enough, supporters for Joe Biden is the National Iranian American Council, which is just another word for a pro-American Iranian lobbyist group for the mullahs. These are Iranians in Washington. They basically, and they're under investigation, by the way, have been a pro-Iranian lobbyist group for many, many years. Back in January, three Republican senators asked for an investigation of NIAC. They were Mike Braun of Indiana, Ted Cruz of Texas, and Tom Cotton of Arkansas. They called on the United States Department of Justice to investigate the National Iranian American Council, which is a lobby group they believe acts as a foreign agent of the Islamic Republican. Now, basically, they denied having anything to do with this. They claim they did not receive money from any government, they're not agents of another government, and they take pride in our transparency, they said. But here is the bottom line. They are involved in making deals, excuse me, and connecting people, foreign governments. Basically, they work for the mullahs of Iran. They don't want to admit that, of course. They don't want to say that's what they're doing. But every Iranian that I know of understands that. And, of course, that's why they want Joe Biden to be president, so that we can return to this disastrous nuclear deal. But Donald Trump, since he's been president, has been a strong advocate for the human rights of Iranians. He has taken to Twitter and supported them during the 2017 and here lately the 2019 uprisings. In the past, as you well know, when the Shah of Iran was under assault in 1978 and the mullahs were gathering a lot of followers, and of course, in exile, Khomeini was instructing the protesters of how to take back Iran for him. It was during this time that President Carter, who was supposedly a strong American ally, president of Iran, basically left the Shah to his own demise. And because of his negligence, it paved the way eventually for Khomeini to seize power, turning from exile, and take over the Iranian people, becoming the Islamic Republic of Iran. It was under President Barack Obama, in the 2009 presidential election, when the mullahs were of course in full power in Iran, and there was at that time Iranians rising up saying this election was rigged, Ahmadinejad had been reelected, and there was violence in the streets. The government was squelching the protesters. It was then at that time that the Iranians cried out to President Barack Obama, "Are you with us? Are with the mullahs of Iran?" And basically the answer was he was with the mullahs. Nothing was done to help the Iranian protesters at that time. So it was under Carter and under Obama that Iran was left to its own demise. But under President Trump, and I'm going to make this case today, the Iranians have a voice. They have someone who is rising up to defend them and to be an advocate for their human rights. It was just back in this past January where President Trump made a strong connection with the Iranian peoples. He has a commitment and a connection to them. It was at that time that he launched a missile strike attack against top general Qasem Soleimani in Baghdad. And this death of the Iranian general really solidified a connection with President Trump and the Iranians. I want you to hear from back in January this momentous event in the killing of Soleimani. Let's listen.
We take you now to Palm Beach, Florida, where President Trump addressed the airstrike that killed Iran's top military official.
Strike that killed the number one terrorist anywhere in the world, Qasem Soleimani. Soleimani was plotting imminent and sinister attacks on American diplomats and military personnel, but we caught him in the act and terminated him. Under my leadership, America's policy is unambiguous to terrorists who harm or intend to harm any American. We will find you, we will eliminate you, we will always protect our diplomats, service members, all Americans, and our allies. For years, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and its ruthless Quds Force under Soleimani's leadership has targeted, injured, and murdered hundreds of American civilians and servicemen. The recent attacks on U.S. targets in Iraq, including rocket strikes that killed an American and injured four American servicemen very badly, as well as a violent assault on our embassy in Baghdad, were carried out at the direction of Soleimani. Soleimani made the death of innocent people his sick passion, contributing to terrorist plots as far away as New Delhi and London. Today we remember and honor the victims of Soleimani's many atrocities, and we take comfort in knowing that his reign of terror is over. Soleimani has been perpetrating acts of terror to destabilize the Middle East for the last 20 years. What the United States did yesterday should have been done long ago. A lot of lives would have been saved. Just recently, Soleimani.
So that was the announcement back on January 3rd of this year. President Trump, of course, eliminated a terrorist, a number one terrorist in the Middle East, who had brought death and injury to many American troops over the past decade. And then, because of this, the Iranian people rejoiced that this man, this reign of terror, had come to an end. I want you to hear some of the reactions of the Iranian Americans communities here in the United States right after this attack. Let's listen to this special report.
Well, many people here in Southern California are keeping a close eye on the heightened tensions with Iran.
KCAL 9's Amy Johnson live for us in Beverly Hills with reaction from the local Iranian community. Amy?
Well, Sarah and Juan, we spoke with three very different people here in the Southland, all Iranian Americans, and all believe that the death of Soleimani was a positive that will ultimately lead to peace in the world.
I'm praying for the peace, you know, it's everybody's goal, peace in the world. Hopefully it happens soon.
Optimism at Tocha Market in Westwood by owner Todd Kodadadi, an Iranian-American, as news spread of the death of Iran's top commander, General Soleimani.
Nobody liked to, people get killed, but this person had a lot of history behind him, and that's why make everybody happy.
Having a terrorist pay his due is very happy moment.
Nooshin Mishkati was born in Iran but moved to Los Angeles as a girl to attend school. She's now an engineer for NASA.
So Soleimani is the brain behind all the terrorist attack, internal and external. So you could imagine how everyone was happy because he not only has killed many Americans, he's killed many Iranians and many other people around the world.
This is video of people celebrating in Iraq that Mishkati received from friends.
Haj Soleimani.
And video in Iran, where they are also celebrating.
So he's gone. It's a turning point.
Kevin Nikju was also born in Iran and left at the age of 20, although his mother and brother are still there.
I was so happy, so excited when I heard the news. This is the news I was waiting for a long time, and I think it was overdue, but I'm glad it happened. This is a big move, big turning point for the people of Iran, for the freedom and democracy in the region.
I think the terrorist activities are weakened. I think we're in better days these days than where we were before because we know he was plotting.
But Nikju isn't as optimistic.
I'm not sure this regime is just going to back off. I'm sure they're going to retaliate somehow. But we have to support the people of Iran for a regime change, and I think that is the best option.
Now, ultimately, they say they believe that the world is safer today than it was yesterday. Reporting live in Beverly Hills, Amy Johnson, KCAL 9 News.
So this was the initial reaction of the Iranian American community in support of what President Trump did back in January. I want to read to you a little bit from my book, Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians. And this is a chapter in the book called The Death of a Terrorist. And I want you to hear how the Iranians reacted on Twitter. Dear Mr. President, as an American-Iranian woman, just wanted to say thank you. You are brave, courageous, and intelligent as hell. Trump 2020, I hope you see this message. Another tweet from a grateful Iranian. As an Iranian, I wanted to say thank you with all my heart for putting an end to Soleimani. You just made the world a better place to live in. Free Iran 2020. Well, the rejoicing and gratitude from Iranians come from a unique and special connection that they have with President Trump. Trump has been faithful throughout his presidency to stand in solidarity with the Iranian protesters, pledging to support them and be their voice. Soleimani's death brought justice to more than 1,500 protesters that he was responsible for killing in the recent uprisings over the gas price hikes. Unlike Obama, who turned a deaf ear to Iranians during the 2009 presidential election fraud, Trump instead had taken to Twitter and pledged his support for their movement and spoke out against the awful human rights abuses. While Soleimani had support among the hardliners and regime loyalists, most Iranians hated him and were overjoyed by his demise. Angry at Trump's support, the Iranian government put together a massive media propaganda campaign to deceive the world into thinking of all Iran loving this general. And during the funeral, the world watched what appeared to be thousands, if not millions, mourning his death and vowing revenge for the assassination of their beloved general. However, many Iranians, and I have friends that told me this, were quick to point out that the government forced students and officials to attend and show their remorse. Little children were made to write essays praising the fallen commander. First graders who can't even write were encouraged to cry for Soleimani. The manipulated and staged media event was calculated to show how loved the general was, but nothing could be further from the truth. If Iranians didn't attend this funeral, they would be jailed, lose their jobs and government benefits. So it was mandatory. Now, I think one of the great displays of love for our country was right after this event. We're often seeing the death to America signs and protests in Iran. These are government paid people who are staged specifically for the media. That is not the attitude of Iranians. Most Iranians love America. In fact, a day later, a video surfaced on the internet showing Iranian students refusing to step on American and Israeli flags in front of the university campus. Iranians risking their lives decided instead to demonstrate to the world their gratitude for the freedom President Trump had given them in Soleimani's death. Now, as a reaction, here's what Trump said when he went to Twitter. Wow. The wonderful Iranian protesters refuse to step on or in any way denigrate our great American flag. It was put on the street in order for them to trample on it, and they walked around it instead. Big progress. So, what do I say and what do I mean with all of this? On a cold and quiet morning in January, President Trump connected with the Iranian people in an incredible demonstration of friendship and freedom. It was much more than just a political decision for protecting American lives. It may have been a calculated act making up for the decades of failure by past presidents Carter and Obama, who had betrayed and turned their backs on Iranians in their desperate situations. So what I'm saying is a secret drone missile strike in January had become a massive shout for freedom to a people longing for liberation and democracy. I'm part of a group here on Facebook, Iranians for Trump, and you want to see the outpouring of support from the Iranian people. This is so important because the alternative to President Trump with Joe Biden would be an absolute disaster. And a return to the missile agreement that Barack Obama had back in 2015, President Trump rightly tore up this deal. And it's our job to convince those in the European Union to stop doing business with Iran in any way. They need to take a stand with the United States against a regime that has imprisoned and tortured and kept their people under oppression for more than 40 years. In my book, Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians, the very first chapter in this book is about President Trump. And there's a picture on that page of Freedom Tower. And the title of this article is 40 Years of Betrayal and Bloodshed. And I want you to hear this article and what this means as President Trump being a voice for all Iranians. President Trump turns on his cell phone. He takes a deep breath and carefully organizes his thoughts. Then he logs on to his Twitter account, tweeting is his ultimate passion in life. By using Twitter, Trump can easily bypass the fake media and talk directly to the people without his words being spun or twisted. Today is an historic day for the Iranian government. It is the 40th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution. A massive celebration at Azadi Square in Tehran has just concluded. It is 9 p.m. in Tehran and 11:58 a.m. in Washington, D.C. Being a voice for the Iranian people and their human rights is an important priority for Trump. Unlike his predecessor, Barack Obama, who forged a legacy-making deal with the corrupt government and funneled over $150 billion enriching the mullah's pockets, Trump instead wants freedom and democracy for all Iranians. Shortly after he came into office, he tore up the disastrous nuclear deal and put the government on notice that there was a new sheriff in town. During the uprisings of 2018, Trump displayed his solidarity with Iranians on Twitter. On January 3rd, 2018, just a few weeks after the uprisings began, Trump went to Twitter and pledged his loyalty to Iranians by tweeting, quote, "Such respect for the people of Iran as they try to take back their corrupt government. You will see great support from the United States at the appropriate time." In just a few short sentences, Trump had made a solid connection with the people of Iran. He made it very clear that their freedom and human rights was his priority. Iranians have never forgotten during the bloody and violent election protests in 2009 how President Obama turned his back on them. They could be heard chanting loudly in the streets, "President Obama, are you with the Iranian people or with the mullahs?" However, on Monday, February 11th, 2019, at 11:56 a.m., President Trump took to Twitter and he sent a completely different message to the Iranian people, a message of hope and not betrayal. 40 years of corruption, 40 years of oppression, 40 years of terror. The regime in Iran has produced only 40 years of failure. The long-suffering Iranian people deserve a much brighter future. This is so important that you understand the reality of what's going on here. In my book, Shout Freedom, I chronicle the stories of many Iranian political prisoners, those that are in prison simply for desiring and wanting to practice the freedom that you and I simply take for granted every day. But President Trump knows what the Iranian people are going through. He feels their pain. He's got a hand on their pulse every single day. So this election is absolutely catastrophic in its implications. Joe Biden has been endorsed by the National Iranian American Council, which is nothing more than a pro-lobby voice for the mullahs in Iran. And they have organized this facade here in Washington that they're just trying to connect Iranians and Americans together. But all of us know, plus our Iranian friends, that they funnel very important information to the mullahs of Iran. and they're working behind the scenes, not for the Iranian people in America, but they're working for the mullahs of Iran. It's very strongly documented, and they are still under investigation. If we fail to reelect Donald Trump in November of this year, not only will Biden be a disaster for our country and the world, but especially for the people of Iran. Yes, the sanctions are very tough. Many innocent Iranians do suffer because of that. But in the end, the sanctions were created to weaken this government so that the people of Iran could rise up one day and take over this murderous, torturous regime. And they have the support and the backing of President Trump. And I make the case in my book, Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cries of Iranians. They are longing for humanity to hear their voices and stand with them. They have suffered bloodshed and betrayal for these past 41 years. These are the stories in my books of the many long years of injustice, death, and oppression for the Iranian people. And so this is the case in my book, why I believe with all of my heart that President Trump is a true, legitimate, strong voice for the Iranian people. Oh, of course, there are those Iranians that don't see the same thing that I see and many other Iranians sees. They have all kinds of arguments about Trump being a racist and that he's closed down any kind of communication between Iranian families and in the United States because of the travel ban. But there was a reason why he effected this travel ban. He's revamping our borders. He's revamping the immigration system to prevent terrorist attacks. He is tough on terrorism. And it was very much amplified when he killed Soleimani, how committed President Trump is to securing our freedom, our peace, and our safety by taking out the world's terrorists. And so there's a reason for the travel ban, which I know is only temporary, and one day that will be lifted when this system has been revamped. But it's only because our president believes in strength and safety and peace. He has not opened borders like Joe Biden. He has not defunded the police like Joe Biden. He is a strong leader and a strong voice for the Iranian people. And so this election in November has very strong, earth-shattering consequences. And I have many Iranian friends who are pro-Trump and are working very, very hard for Election Day. Many of them are very convinced that President Trump is the first president in decades to stand up for the Iranian people, and I believe that too. So I hope you will join me in our fight to protect Iranians, to ensure their democracy and freedom, and to not be one that would betray them like a Joe Biden would do if he became president, and like a Carter and Obama did in the past. And so I want to thank you this morning for joining me on this very, very special broadcast. God bless you. I will see you next Monday on the Cross in the Desert. Have a great weekend. Mm-hmm.